Episode 17, man.
Yep.
That's a third of a year.
A third of a year. Oh, man.
That's over 4 months. Yeah. We've been doing this. Technically five.
Well, you've been doing this.
Anyway. I caught on the back. Looks good, man.
I know. I hope it shows up in there. It should.
And a haircut today?
Yep.
I appreciate you actually taking some pride in how you look.
Whatever.
For the podcast.
Whatever. Had to get all this stuff in here to get your stuff from echoing. Oh, but yeah, I can't wait to see the pictures. Where are they? He got them? You have them?
Yeah, he finished them. He forgot my SD card, so.
Oh, okay.
He said he would email them to me.
Cool.
So, don't need them until this weekend when I start editing this podcast, then we'll look at him.
Okay. But
pretty cool last week. First guest.
Oh, yeah.
On the show.
Yeah, that was interesting having Corey the cop.
Corey the cop. I know quite a few cops. My buddy has a brother down in the area that Jeff's from, mm-hmm. the southeastern part of Oklahoma. I don't know. I can't remember if he's a cop, like actually works for the police department, if he works for the sheriff's department.
Oh, okay.
So, not exactly sure which part, but he's a cop nonetheless. But Jeff sent me a newspaper clipping, and I forgot the name of it, but it got to the point where I looked it up, and I think I'm subscribed to it because it has very candidly written articles in it. And Jeff and I have a mutual friend named Brad, and he's got a brother who is a sheriff's deputy down in the Broken Bow area. And Jeff sent me, he made that paper.
How you make the paper?
I'm going to read you this article that Jeff sent me. It says, Brooks, who's another deputy, and Officer Brian, and that will just leave it at Brian, attempted to restrain a suspect, the report states. But Burris is a lady who they were trying to restrain. So you've got Brooks and Brian, the two officers, and Burris, the woman they were trying to restrain.
That's one of these.
So Burris continued to resist even after being told she was under arrest. Officers eventually got the stick away from the suspect.
Stick?
Yeah. The report said, but still experienced difficulty in getting Burris handcuffed. Sergeant Jeremy arrived and assisted with handcuffing Burris, but after one arm was cuffed, the woman jerked away and, according to officers, grabbed Officer Brian in the groin and twisted.
Okay. Did they show a picture of this
No,
lady?
They didn't show a picture of the lady.
Because I'm like, hold on, you just went to third cop, man. They still haven't restrained her.
You don't. Okay, first off, you don't need a picture.
I know.
Because this particular periodical did a great job painting a picture woman resisting arrest and grabbing Officer Brian by the beans and twisting.
I ain't trying to laugh at him, but man, that's
funny. Yeah, it had me laughing out loud when I saw it. So
man, but see, they was trying to be gentle though.
You're probably right. I mean,
usually they put your knee in your bag, put your head,
and that's the thing. And probably with what they were probably trying to be nice. And like Corey was talking about last week, you know, it's if someone gets roughed up, like the cop in Louisiana at that board meeting, was accused of throwing this woman around the hallway when in reality I think she tripped and fell and really all you saw in the video was her trying to get up. So
oh yeah.
But here I think once Mrs. Burris did what she did, it should be a no holds bar.
I'm just surprised they didn't tase her.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Well, they, I bet Officer Brian doesn't want him to tase her at the moment.
Yeah, I know she got a grip.
Because that grip's just going to lock up even tighter.
Because I'm like, wow, man, two cops, that you'd think they would get handcuffs on a lady, but...
Well, yeah, I understand. And, you know, Corey would always talk about, you know, people on PCP and all that.
You got to get that strength.
Yeah. And all that. So, no telling. And that's a problem down in that area. So,
yeah.
But what's up, Mike? It's been a week.
Not much, man.
Been a week.
Yeah. And crazy stuff to happen in a week.
Yeah.
You know, God be with you guys in Florida again for a school shooting. That's all I said, but I think the news is putting enough out there for them. You know, I wish they kind of calm down on showing all the pictures, because I don't know if I was a family member, I don't know if I want to keep seeing, you know, that and I lost my child. But hey, no parent should lose their child. So, you know, I hope that guy get what he deserve. And yeah. My heart goes out to the families.
Absolutely. On the surface, I mean, just with what it is, terrible, terrible thing.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible thing.
Yep. But yeah, man, it's been
also in the headlines yesterday, I don't know if you saw this, but a shootout at NSA headquarters.
I know. I did see that.
So.
Oh.
And then a lot of people think they were trying to get in, but in reality, they were trying to get out, and they were barricaded in, and then the shootout ensued inside the facility. So what's that tell you?
They was trying to get out, so they infiltrated.
Mm-hmm. 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 Were they trying to kidnap somebody? Were they trying to steal information? Don't know.
I don't know what to say on that either. Wow.
But, you know, with all the memos and everything, NSA and Intel is of high priority right now. So, like I said, a lot of stuff going on in the news. And obviously a very tragic situation in the Florida area. And it's definitely sucking the headlines up right now. I mean, that's all you're going to see on the news.
Yeah.
You
know, and unfortunately, you know, it's Olympic time, so you're hoping that would do it. But, you know, we ain't looking good in that sports arena. Come on, summer.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, dude, come on, man. I mean, we're competing against places that have winter like 9 months out of the year. They adapt to the cold.
Oh, no, man.
There are only like five states I thought there were only five states representing us in the Winter Olympics.
Oh, it is?
Colorado being the number one. I mean, they're just putting all types of athletes into the Winter Olympics. But the thing is I don't necessarily think it's people from Colorado as much as people who live in Colorado.
Yeah.
And if you're a Winter Olympian as profession, don't you think that living in a place like Colorado would make sense?
Yeah.
Highest altitude in the nation. So you're going to have the most snow as high as you go. So, I mean, it makes sense, but
yeah,
still pretty impressive, don't we?
Yes, sir.
I wonder if anyone from Texas is in the Winter Olympics.
Yeah, we just take the summer. I'm sure we got some Texans in there, though. They don't relocate it.
Don't know.
So what's this matchsticks?
Matchsticks spear. You like fire? You like setting stuff on fire, lighting stuff?
Ain't no pyro. Is you a pyro man?
I am a pyro. My wife and I, when we were dating, I had to use the restroom, so I was in there doing the deed. And I'm in there, and I had this little air freshener bottle from it's a Bath and Body Works.
Okay.
You know, those scented ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like a little squirt. It's not like an aerosol can. It's like a little squirt, almost like cologne or perfume, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's to make the bathroom smell better. And I like candles, so I had candles in my bathroom and all that. Well, I lit a candle, and I left the lighter in there.
Oh.
So I'm doing the deed, and I have this spray can. And so what I'm doing is I'm lighting the lighter, and I'm spraying the...
Dude, you're making a torch.
Exactly. And this thing was powerful, so I would spray it, and you hear... Right? My wife, at the time, we were just dating. This was before we got married. But the bathroom door was right by the door, by the entryway, so it was dark because we were watching a movie or something like that. So it was dark throughout the house. And she said all she could, she came over and checked on me because she heard the of the blowtorch, but she also saw
the glow
of the fire underneath the door.
Oh my
God. So I get out and she's asking me what I'm doing. So I've always enjoyed setting stuff on fire, and I've always enjoyed lighting matches. And if I get a box of matches, I'll sit there and just light them and blow them out. Just, I don't know why.
Pyro.
You're right. My mom calls me a pyro. So just a little insight into the depths of Josh.
The mine.
I thought this was pretty cool. What a guy did is for a year, he glued matchsticks together to make this sphere right here. Oh, that's all matchsticks, right?
Yeah, 42,000.
Yeah, he lights it on fire. So he takes it outside finally and lights it on fire, and it's approximately 42,000 matches. But he lights it on fire, and that's it. But the cool thing is he'll put it in slow motion here in just a second. And I don't know about you, man, but I think that looks stupid cool.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
You know,
that's nice.
I think I would pay money if someone let me light their matchstick Death Star on fire. Because I would thoroughly enjoy that.
Should go out there and help Troy when he's cleaning out his new land.
I love it.
He's been burning barns and burning wood piles.
Well, that's the thing is we had some friends in Texas that lived out in the country, so they didn't have a trash pickup. Mm-hmm. So they had a burn barrel that they burnt all their trash in, and I was always anxious to take the trash out because it meant I got to light something on fire while I was out there. You know, just put some lighter fluid on it, light it on fire, and all that. And it was fun. I enjoyed it. So, I mean, I think I'm what's the word? Controlled enough to not light a house on fire.
He's on meds.
I'm not an arsonist.
He's now, on meds. His meds are keeping him.
Now, will I light a house on fire? The potential's there, but it'd be 100% accident.
Oh my God!
But so we had Vitas last week, the dude, the crazy Russian with the crazy voice.
Awesome.
And people seem to like that, and I got a few videos. The pressure to actually find that funny video is pretty intense right now.
So are you getting any videos from what's coming up when you put the podcast?
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't.
Not on these. Getting strange one last week?
No, this one is called White Dove. And it's actually a Spanish one. And it actually, Palamo Blanca is the name of the song.
Okay.
So I'm going to play it and then give me your reaction afterwards.
All right.
But it's not necessarily the song as much as it's the choreography.
Oh, look at that. Trying to take it back to the 50s and 60s.
This is 70s. This is 1970s. Yeah. So,
Japanese.
Oh man, Paloma Blanca, man. This is Spanish. Here's the thing, man. This is like,
I'm like, wow.
Like, how do you think you sign up for this job? You know what I mean? Like, and this one I got from my buddy Caleb's Facebook page. He shared it, and it was pretty funny. But, that's my thing.
It's like, I'm speechless on this. I'm going like, okay, they're doing some cheerleader stuff. You know, you keep doing it. Really? Hey, so far you got 2 million views, okay?
Oh, yeah, it's great, man. It's a pretty popular song, apparently, back in the 70s.
In Spain?
I think it was here. I think this... There he goes. Look at this guy, man. What's he doing?
No, brother, no.
So what were you doing in the 70s?
I would just be pushed out. Think I wasn't doing that. Oh, my God.
Anyway.
Oh. Next.
All right.
Guys, when you see this, you're going to be like, wow.
Next one, huh? Okay. Wow. This is a gentleman by the name of Boney M. German. Now, I think they've got Jamaican descent and all that. This is a band called Boney M. Right? And like I said, from Germany. But if this is... I'll just let you watch it, man. I'll just let you watch it.
Oh, moly me.
This is from the same time period. Now, okay. I stumbled upon this one watching that past one.
Okay. She's crazy like a fool. What about Daddy Cool? The name of the song is Daddy Cool?
Yeah.
Okay.
But now, definitely talent among the women. The women can definitely sing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure that's all that guy has to do.
What, to do the dance?
Dance, and then he has one line the entire song. Says it over and over again, but literally has one line the entire time.
Hey, I'm just telling you, back in the 70s, okay, this is German, right?
Yeah.
Why is everything is in English? Are they appeasing each other?
They're German. Well, they're just a German. They formed in Germany. Like, that dude's like Puerto Rican and they're Jamaican or something like that.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? It's just that's where they originated at. So, but that's all he did. He says, she's crazy like a fool. And then dances around like that, man.
He would just stay entrepreneur back in the day. He's like, I'm gonna use mine, no talent, with three beautiful ladies' talent, and say a word, four or five lines, and it's gonna be I'm gonna be the leader of the band. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, this song will be stuck in your head all day.
It's already there.
All
I really appreciate it.
Day long,
Daddy Cool. I'm glad you spread that with the world.
You're going to be driving down to
the Lone Star State, seeing
now,
Daddy Cool.
Now, here's my question on this next one, and then that's it for the videos. What do you think would happen today?
Ooh,
if we put a... this is a movie from India.
Ooh. No.
And they say, and I can't even say it. That's the name of it. Adisaya Paravi. But what do you think? I'm just going to, I'm going to play it.
You ain't got to play it. I already know what you're going to ask.
But what would happen today if we put this in a movie?
Sound like music that Saturday Night used for that David S. Pumpkin.
I forgot what the name of the song is, but it's a legitimate song. Like it's a old school hip hop song out of the time.
Yeah, putting a little pigment dance on there. Yeah. Hey, he's good though.
Oh yeah, no, he can move, man.
Yeah.
But
American TV, no brother.
It's a weird movie, though. I read the premise on it and won't go into it, but it's a weird movie. And
oh, no, he ain't. No, he ain't. Go there. Rock the legs. You go there.
Anyway. Yeah, it's weird. Oh, let's fast forward to this part right here. I have no clue what the context of this is.
What?
Yeah, I don't
think. He's gonna jump and go.
I have no clue what the context is. But. I don't know what these guys are doing. I just know that.
Dude! If you gonna climb up, I'm gonna let you get time to climb up on me and pimp slap me. And keep slapping me. Oh,
like I said, man, don't know. I think it's a comedy. It's a comedy.
Okay.
I, from the best that I can pull together, it's kind of the India's version of like Billy Madison. I think it's a little, not exactly the same storyline, but has the same type of premise. I think
I just lost 5 minutes of my life. I just wanted to let you know that. Watching that.
I think you're better off knowing that, man. Better off knowing it.
Because, brother, I'd probably been getting all kind of hate mail still, but he'd have grabbed my tie and start climbing up. It'd have been like off the top road, Randy Savage style.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, man. Like, we couldn't do that today.
Or even, what's that, Anchorman, when Jack Black kicked the dog over the bridge?
Yeah.
That
was funny, too.
Yeah.
That's one of the best parts of the movie. Yeah. That's how I roll. But I think that, you know, that stuff's, comedic, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess we have, like, some of it. Austin Powers.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mini-Me.
Yeah.
You know, but...
but, yeah, you couldn't...
I guess it brings up the fact, are we too sensitive today?
Yep.
There's a...
yeah, we are. We are.
And you're, you know, Black Panther came out.
Yep.
Are you going to go see it?
Going to see it probably Monday.
I
don't want to be in the crowd. I heard it's already shattering. So
yeah, I'll definitely go see it. But I think it was on his. Anyway, if I can find it.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, what it was, and I want your take on this, is a white woman. And that's important to the context of this story. But a white woman basically said that she wasn't going to go see the movie Black Panther because she didn't want to be, and I forgot how she phrased it, but basically she didn't want to be the boring, be quiet white woman in the theater keeping the African American people in there from enjoying the movie.
What the beep is she talking about?
So essentially what she's saying, and when I say funny, the ironic thing, or she contradicts herself, because she's basically saying she's trying not to be racist and go to the movies and ruin the movie for the African-American community. But in reality, is being kind of stereotypical in the sense that saying she doesn't want the African-American community to feel that they can't talk during the movie, which is a stereotype.
Big time.
While she's in there. So she's asking, what's the proper amount of time to wait before I go see the movie Black Panther?
do you think that one white lady gonna come into a movie theater, and if it's full like that, a bunch of white people are like, oh, we need to be quiet because that white lady in here. No. And yeah, that's so, oh, yeah. Well, she's being racist just by saying that.
That's kind of what I was thinking. Like, like, okay, I understand what you're saying, and I know you're trying to be a snowflake. And you know what I mean? And that's the thing. It's like, why do you have to consider something like that?
That's like going to see
But you failed.
Yeah.
And what the point you were trying to get across, you were trying to be anti-white privilege, for lack of a better term. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so you're trying to act like you're sympathetic with the minority races,
mm-hmm.
but completely failed.
Screwed it up.
Because you...
Don't try again. Let it go. Let it go.
Here you go.
That movie Frozen.
Here it is.
Let it go.
So I carefully did not buy Black Panther tickets for opening weekend because I did not want to be the white person sucking the black joy out of the theater. What's the appropriate date for me to buy tickets? Is next weekend okay?
Dude, from that first Cesare response, from A-Ron, thank you.
Oh, Aaron Barnett, that's racist.
Go ahead, Aaron.
Thank you, Aaron. Knows. Aaron Barnett.
I know.
But do you see what I'm saying, yeah. though?
That's what everybody's looking like.
She's trying to be a snowflake, and mm-hmm. she's trying to be anti-white privilege, but in reality, just turns around and makes an incredibly racist comment.
I like the, what was that, Razzniel? What the F? What about black? I'm sorry. Oh, man.
Yeah, so...
I'm sorry, girl. You fail. You fail. Go ahead.
And I won't put her name up there, but
no.
I'll put the comment.
Yeah.
But the thing is like, first off, my thing is kind of like,
it's a good movie. I'm going to see it.
Okay, I've been in movie theaters with African American people,
mm-hmm.
and it may be full of nothing but white people and two or three African American people.
Yep.
That doesn't keep them from talking.
Mm-mm.
And I know there's a comedian named Bert Kreischer who goes to the Tyler Perry movies and watches the Tyler Perry movies in a predominantly African American neighborhood in Los Angeles because he's not knocking them, he just thinks it's entertaining watching them or watching it with them as they watch the Tyler Perry stuff. Medea goes.
Dude,
and all that.
I'm being honest on my side. It's mostly Caucasian watch Tyler Perry movies. I'm sorry. I'm being there. We're like, oh man, that don't play it out after Madea won.
Well, okay, but the point being is he'll go to those type of movies just to enjoy it with them because he mm-hmm. enjoys the fact that they talk and laugh and all that.
It's just like going to see any Star Wars movie on their first day. It's a lot of talking in there.
Right.
Because you got the Star Wars people and everything else. And I was one. I dressed up for the episode six.
You're such a nerd.
I'm sorry.
What'd you dress as?
An evil Jedi.
An evil Jedi?
Pretty much. You know,
what's an evil Jedi?
Sith Lord, Sith and stuff like that.
Oh, you paint your face and all that?
No, I ain't go that far. Get that crap, man. Okay. I got pictures, but too bad you guys have never seen them. No, it's on my Facebook site.
But that's the thing. I guess I don't follow. There are evil Jedis.
Yeah, they like.
Anakin, I know Darth Anakin. Vader. Yeah, Darth Vader is
Darth Vader.
So you went as Darth Vader?
Nope, they got the all. I know they said it's only two. You know, it's a Sith Lord and his apprentice.
Uh huh.
So I just was number three, but I was cool, man. It was nice. In fact, we had one of the coworkers where he was working.
Okay, would Star Wars enthusiasts appreciate your costume?
Oh, they did. They tried to buy it off me. I paid.
Would they appreciate the premise of your costume? You stepping out saying, no, there's a third Dark Jedi. The apprentice to the apprentice.
There's always some evil ones. Just don't know.
Okay. All right.
Just don't know.
So you kind of took Mike Leach's liberty on the... Some Mike Liberty on the Star Wars. Nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, because pretty much if, you know, if I was going to be in that realm and be a Jedi, I would probably be evil.
Why is that?
You know, use my powers. Some crazy people would be around. Stuff. It's like, why waste my superpowers to help out mankind when mankind don't want to be helped out?
Anyway, so back to the movie theater, though.
Yeah.
The nerds talk, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And now, you know, I don't know, you know, hold it. Are you a millennial? Is that what you are?
You know what?
Are you an Xer?
It depends.
You know, that date keep changing.
They call me an Xennial. Right now, if you look at the official person who the official group or whatever that calls baby boomers and all that and does the dates, I'm considered a millennial, 1980 and on.
Okay.
But if you look at some other ones, then I'm actually in a gap called the Xennials, and it's Generation X mixed with Millennials because there's a 2 or 3 year gap because it's all based on technology.
Okay.
Because it's when you are graduating, you're graduating at the transition of the millennium, which, you know, I graduated right at the end of the millennium. And what characterizes them is ultimately that they're able to use the electronics.
So what are they now? Are they still millennium?
No.
Why?
There's a group after the millennials.
And that just brings, you know.
But those are kids.
Yeah, because, you know, because me, and I don't want to say millennium, I get them mixed up, but now they don't talk. You see the screen, I mean, the movie theater lit up with phones.
Yeah, Generation Z.
You see them, you see it lit up with phones and stuff. You know, and speaking of movie theater. Okay. Okay. Hey, people, keep your kids from kicking. Oh, my. I'm in there and paid all the money to see that. All right, pull back. I'll pay my money. Let your kid watch the movies.
Yeah, I agree. Because, you know, a lot of times I go to
me, it's all, when you see them open credits, say, shh, silence your phone and everything else, basically, don't do anything, you know, control your people, your kids, come on. Let me enjoy this.
Yeah, see the...
Okay.
The Goldman Sachs Resolution Foundation, yada, 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 use 1980 to 2000. Then you have some millennial group called SIGG. Digital service owned by WPP uses 1981 to 1998. Then you got 1982 to 2000. That's the Census Bureau.
So hold it. Is that when you graduated or is when you're born?
When you're born.
Okay.
Because you would have graduated. If you're born in 82, you would have graduated at the turn of the millennium.
Okay.
Which is where millennial comes from. Pew Research Center does it 81 to 97.
See, it's so confusing, man.
Yeah, so ultimately, I mean, and you know, I was listening to a podcast, and they were talking about millennials, and they said, you can't blame the millennials for the way they are.
You got to blame us, the Xers.
The parents.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Because they're the one that, because they are, and in reality, and that's why I guess my time frame, the early 80s, is so hard. Because we can remember a time when not everyone got a trophy. And I never did because I was a good student. But my brother, he got busted in school a couple times. In fact, if I remember correctly, he got in trouble one time, and they sent a note home with him where my mom had to choose whether she wanted the coach to give him two, they call them spats. So give him two spats.
Because with the paddle, baby.
Or 2 days in detention. And mama checked both of them.
I know. Because then mama probably told daddy, and daddy put more than two swatches.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You know, and that's the thing. When you got spat in school, that wasn't the end of it.
No.
You got spat at home, typically twice.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So point being is I remember a time where that was an option, but I will also remember the time where I was actually in school and that stuff went away because of some soy boys and some snowflakes.
But
you know what I mean?
I don't understand that though. You know, I understand that. I guess I'm saying it was good enough for us to get teachers and neighbors and anybody else who was adult who saw you doing wrong could give you a spanking. Mm-hmm. And then call your parents and tell your parents, and parents weren't upset. They was like, thank you, and I'm going to take it on from here. And then give you some more spankings.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you know, you can't touch them. They know they can't be touched. They can call the police on you and get you in trouble. It's a scary time when the kids are the parents. You know? I see a lot of people now not having kids because they're scared.
They did say that about the millennials, that they're not having children because – and they're not – their dating life, you know, like the thing is, it wasn't uncommon for, and when I was in college, you know, I was a late bloomer. So I didn't date too much in high school, but in college, man, it wasn't uncommon for me to date a girl one weekend and then go on a date with a different girl the next weekend. You know what I mean? But yeah. Now they're also scared that. And it happened at OU. That running back had sexual assault charges filed against him. And then they ran the story and nothing happened of it. And it didn't happen of it because they ran her story and ultimately what it was is she was vindictive. She filed the rape charges in a vindictive matter or in a vindictive manner and you know, definitely put stress on this young man's life, undue stress, because he decided he didn't want to make you his long-term girlfriend. So you went and pulled a rape charge on him. And fortunately, the people were wise enough to the fact that they basically said, look, if you go through this and it's found that you're lying, you're going to jail. You know what I mean? And she, you know, and then all of a sudden, And you know, don't want to get into schematics of it, but the point being is now they're saying these millennials are scared to date for that reason. Because if they decide it does go sour, you know, then he touched me inappropriately or he said something inappropriate, you know what I mean? And it becomes a he said, she said thing, and where are you going to end up at?
I don't know. It just goes both ways. You got the crazy guys who don't know what no mean, and you got the on that side too where they do it. And to me, it's all on the, you know, the internet now. But I'm going back to the point. I understand that, but guys and girls need to get some scruples and just start going out there dating and date and stop be Facebooking and Skyping and everything else.
Well, and that's what they're saying.
And then when you're on a date, you know. If you look around, you know, you take your wife out, you go on a date, and you look around. Most of them are on their phones looking down. They never look up. It's like now at work. You see people walking, they never look up. People would not look in eyes anymore.
Well,
go, hello, and just
exactly.
Keep, you know,
and treat crazy. Them and treat them with respect. And not saying that the entire generation is like that.
Oh, no.
They're
no,
definitely
no.
getting a stigma, a no, negative no, no. stigma put on them. The one good thing about the millennials, though, that I was reading, and this is from a leadership perspective. Our millennials are very loyal workers and work very hard because they want to impress you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, in other words, they want to do a job well done. And they said the best way to reach a millennial isn't through money.
And I kind of saw that, like, on some of the things I've been seeing around the you know, your area where that big thing is made.
Yeah,
know,
they said the best
stuff.
Way to retain a millennial now obviously they, you know, pay raises and bonuses are good and they'll take them and all that. But they said the best way to keep a millennial is to engage them positively when they do something right and instruct them when they do something wrong. They're looking for that. Mm. And they say part of the reason they're looking for that is because they weren't receiving it as a child. So they're behind the curve, for lack of a better term, as far as becoming an adult. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so, and then, because when they grew up, that generation, I mean, it's just, the point is that's when parents didn't, take you that about at that time, their generation is about the time the parents started turning against the teachers. It's the teacher's fault.
I would never say that.
I'm telling you right now.
I know. I would never say that.
Every time I got called in, there's a parent-teacher conference.
Teacher was right.
It was not good for Josh.
Nope.
Ever.
Teacher was right.
Ever. And I tried it. I tried to say, well, she doesn't like me. Or she, you know what I mean?
It ain't her job to like you. It's her job to
but
teach
that's the
you.
Thing is and that's the thing. I'm not saying that there are teachers out there that aren't bad.
Oh, yeah.
But my mom went into the conversation basically thinking I was full of it and that she and that she wanted to get the teacher's side of it so basically she could straighten me out. That was her, not saying it happened all the time. I think there was one teacher, not necessarily being with my brother, that my mom didn't appreciate. But she at least gave that teacher the opportunity to kind of speak her piece. Now, when the teacher said, didn't deny anything my brother said, then it was an issue. But if it became a he said, she said, my son says this or the teacher says that, yeah, I lost every time.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and that's, And that doesn't happen today. I know my daughter had a kindergarten teacher who was great, but came to a he said, she said thing with the student and the parent. And she ended up quitting. Lost a good teacher because principal and all that. So they're so scared to offend the parents that, you know. And the same thing happens with cops. Like Corey was saying last week. We're all quick to blame the cops now, where when I was growing up, if a cop, and again, you have bad actors that caused all this.
Yeah.
But the problem is, what you have to realize is, that's a small minority.
Well, it's just like the cops and military and teachers are just a snapshot of society. You got a lot of bad ones out there, you know, and you see it all the time, but, you know, when you put in generation, you know, it's kind of like, you know, people say, well, you know, I wish when I grew up, I had a little 22-year-old teacher hit on me. I just think it's like you just said earlier. You hit it on those. I think they are so immature now that you think you're a kid now when you're like 25.
Right.
And you're working with now 17-year-olds and stuff like that. And you're out in the world. It just emotions take over. So, I'm not saying it's right at all. I'm not going to say it's right.
Greatest generation ever. Who's that?
World War II.
World War II. And what were they doing at 16, 17 years old?
They was out farming. They was out working at bus stop. They was trying to make a life for their family.
Yeah, exactly.
And help mom and dad.
You know, I blame video games. I don't think video games necessarily. I'm not the kind of guy that's like a violent video game is going to make someone go out and shoot someone up.
Okay,
what I do think it is, though, is you can spend hours playing a video game.
Oh, yeah.
Hours.
Yeah. But
I remember one time we spent the night at a buddy's house playing video games. And we started playing video games around 8 o'clock at night. And I remember by the time I even thought about, like, man, I wonder what time it is. We need to get to bed. It was 7:30 in the morning.
Happened to me 5-6 years ago. The wife got me a PlayStation, and she got me Call of Duty.
Dude, you're a grown man.
I'm sorry. Got me Call of Duty, and I started when she gave it to me on Christmas morning. Dude, it was like maybe probably about 20 hours later. I finished the game, and I was like, it's time to go to bed. And I noticed, oh my God, I felt it. So I
you slept
it.
Through the day.
I slept through the day on that.
Wow. Yeah. So, but I blame video games because you could go into your room.
Oh yeah.
And not ever. We had a Nintendo growing up. We had, you know, Atari's and all that. But when I was, you know, summer, I thought the whole summer when I was 9, 8, 9, 10 years old that the entire summer we were going to just play video games all day. Mm-mm. We got to play video games first thing in the morning. And then once it kind of warmed up, and when I say warmed up, you know, just kind of sun came out and it was ready to go, put some clothes on, went outside.
Oh, yeah.
Ate lunch outside.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
I was outside from, didn't care what we did. Throw the football around, shoot the basketball, ride your bike. I don't care what you do, but you're not going to be in here for 8 hours. Exactly.
My mom said, you ain't taking up my air conditioning by going in and out. Or just standing around, laying around. Right. You need to get outside and play. But again, who are you blaming it on?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think video games are just easy.
Well, just like you alluded to now. And now, you know, when I grew up, I didn't have my own room. So basically, you know, my mom said, go to your room. I'm going to ruin my knucklehead brother. And guess what? I didn't have no TV, video game, cell phone, computer, all this stuff in there. So now you like go to your room. They got a TV, video game, cell phones.
And that's the other thing,
it's
too.
It's crazy.
We would go out and you had to spend 6 to 8 hours outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you can only play with your brother for so long before y'all start fighting each other,
yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
So the thing that kept us from doing that was we'd go to the neighbor's house.
Yep.
And we'd play with that kid. And his parents had the same philosophy my mom did. So it wasn't like, oh, we're going over to so-and-so's house so we can play video games in there.
Oh, no.
It was just a matter of, hey, Josh is outside. You go outside, too. So then we would play sports or we'd hang out, whatever, make-believe, whatever we did.
No.
But the thing is, too, on top of that, that you kind of have to look at is I had to interact with his parents.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So I had to interact with his parents. So at a young age, I'm interacting with adults. And I can tell you, if I disrespected an adult, then.
You are done. Yeah.
Yeah, I was getting in trouble with my mom. You know what I mean? And so it's just one of those things where it's just, I think the video games, you just don't have that interaction. And I'm not necessarily blaming the parents because it is easy.
Mm-hmm.
As a parent, it is easy to stick your kid in front of a TV.
Oh, yeah, babysitter do.
So you can do what you need to do. But at the same time, you got to, it's just, to me, it's just as easy sticking them outside and letting them play.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but now it'd be too hot.
My kids play a lot. Dead. And I like the fact we don't have any video games in our house for that reason. One, I don't have time to play them. and I would, though. If we had one, I would play it, and I would waste a ton of time. But at the same time, my kids, we buy them Kindles or whatever that they can download movies. But the sole purpose of that is car trips.
Yeah.
So when we go somewhere, there's nothing wrong with them not wanting to stick their head out the window because that's boring, man. That gets old. So, but other than that, if they're sick, they get the Kindle to watch TV in their room so we can kind of keep them away from everyone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But as soon as they're up and running, Kindle goes out and the Kindle's sitting on top of the closet right now. So I think the technology's good, but, you know, it's one of those things where you just got to.
You got to control it.
Exactly.
So what do you think is the youngest age you should get a phone? You get your kids cell phones?
Oh, my kids aren't getting cell phones until... They're not getting a smartphone until they move out of my house.
That's what I'm talking about. I lost that battle, but yep.
They're not getting a cell phone until... We've already had this conversation. We will get them phones. When I say them phones, We will get them phones as they get older.
They'll do any sports and everything.
They'll be flip phones.
They can have flip phones when
they still have them. Barely, but they will get flip phones that they can make a phone call or send a text message on, and that's it. And those phones will stay on a charger. And I know I'm sounding like a Nazi parent.
No, you're not.
But
no, you're not.
They'll stay on a charger in our room, and they can have it when they leave, and when they come in, they got to put it on the charger, and all that. And the reason is this: I was reading a study about dopamine. And dopamine is what you get is, you know, if you post something on Facebook and someone likes it, and you get a notification that someone likes your whatever, it makes you feel good.
I hate notifications. I turn my
But I'm just saying, yeah. It says, hey, so-and-so liked your notification, right, or your comment or whatever. And it just makes you feel good, right? That's a spike in dopamine. Text messages, same thing. You get a text message and someone texts you back, that interaction spikes your dopamine.
Oh, so when I be getting text messages and I don't answer and stuff, I be taking your dopamine away?
Well, yeah, exactly. Now, the issue is that in the, they said in the years between, I think it's 12 and 18, is when 90% of habits are formed.
Mm.
They look at, and for example, alcoholics and drug dealers and people with gambling, which is the same issue. So same kind of high that dopamine gives
when you're winning, when you're doing stuff. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, all that is the same dopamine type of effect. So what they're saying is a child who drinks between the ages of 12 and 16 have a better chance of becoming an alcoholic as an adult, right? And alcohol, gambling, and drug addiction issues, obviously, that we all. But then we look at the dopamine spike from social interaction on our phones, and that's what ends up happening, is between the ages of 12 and 18, when they have nothing better to do but go like a bunch of comments and say stuff and all that, it spikes that dopamine. Then they get into the real world, like you and I, where I shoot you a text message and you shoot two words response and our communication is over with. I don't feel the need. I need to text you again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Or thank you. No, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah,
thank
exactly. Well, you know what I mean? Or
yeah,
if,
I know.
If there's a good stopping point in the conversation,
you take that,
the
take
last
that
person
shot.
To text, just then text.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Take the shot.
When you get when they say what's happening with some of the generation, the kids these days, is that they're not getting those things, and then it depresses them, and they feel like they feel because that person didn't text them back that they're mad or that they don't like them anymore, or whatever.
So do you like every post you see on Facebook? Do you feel like you have to like it because you don't want nobody to feel bad?
You know what I do? My wife's OCD, right?
Uh-huh.
So you get the notifications up top.
I'm OCD. I know what you did. Yep.
So you get the color notifications
you gotta
up
clear
top.
Them. You got to clear them.
And you got to clear them all. You can't just look at them and say, okay, whatever, let it go.
Yeah.
So you've actually got to clear all of them.
Yeah.
Well, she posts 6 or 7 pictures at a time. And I don't know if you know, but you can like the entire group of pictures, or you can go in and like each picture individually.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I always did the individually.
So what I do is I go in and I like the group, and then I go in and I like all 6 pictures individually.
You're killing her, man.
So it gives her 7 things that she has to go clear. And I do it all the time. And so.
But it's like now.
My poor wife, man. She. Yeah, I. Like, she's a grammar Nazi. She's OCD with grammar. So you're in there. When I'm texting her or IMing them or whatever, I will use the wrong there or you
just
on purpose, just to mess with her, right? Or I'll walk out the door as I'm leaving and say, "Hey, I'm going to see you later," and she's like, "Okay," and I'll just go something like, "I'm doing all right," and then walk out. You know what I mean? Like, just gibberish, but say all right at the end as I'm leaving, jump in the car and drive off. And she will sit there and wonder what I said as I'm leaving the entire time.
Well, just like, guy I work with, you know, he don't like us use when we, like, use your cat card or ATM machine or stuff like that. It drives him so crazy.
You're saying.
Because I'm sure OCD is killing him because it should be CDO. Cause I hate, I guess my big thing is like numbers, dude. If I buy anything, you see me buy an even number. I can't do the odd thing.
You can't buy two, one, you buy one of everything. You can't buy one.
I have to buy two.
Two what?
Like, you know, if I'm going there and buying a candy bar Snickers, I buy two. You know, like when I bought the wife some balloons for Valentine's Day, I bought four. And the good karma thing about God is that when I was taking my car, he sucked one of them away. So it was three there. And I struggled the whole night about going back and buying another one. But I said, nope, that was for God. You got that one, Lord.
Wait, why?
Because it was just, it's killer, man.
Why not just get her two balloons?
I just needed more than that. I saw two.
You like Valentine's Day? It's a corporate holiday.
Yes, I know. I love Valentine's Day for my spouse. But she get Valentine's Day every day. So, yeah, why is it
That's
just
how I
day?
Look at it.
Yeah.
But like, why do I need a special day?
I decided to get her some balloons. I was like, I'm going to get her some balloons. But that right there showed me how sick I was when that one flew away. And I'm holding three in my hands, and I was about to drive 15 more minutes. And go
why didn't you just drop
the other one? Yeah. I said, it'll be two. I know.
Yeah, dude. That's my point. Now you're cool.
I know. No. But then I'm cheap. You know, so I was like, man.
I don't like it. I get her stuff for her birthday, and I do anniversary and all that, but I don't like that, and I don't like, and I do Mother's Day and all that for.
But see, Mother's Day.
But I'm not. But that's the thing. Valentine's Day is what?
It's corporate.
It's corporate, and it makes the single people feel bad.
Again.
And I'm not a big fan of making people feel bad.
Okay, and that brings me to the first question. So I heard this thing about Facebook might be going to this. They're not calling it a dislike button, but it's like maybe not an agree button. I don't know if you heard about that. So how you think that's going to start making
people feel? Don't agree.
Well, how you think it's going to make people feel? They still like, you know, like, but that's I like your picture, but I don't like it. You know, it's like YouTube. Man, there's some vicious people. As we was reading on YouTube. Okay.
But that's the thing but that's my point. My point is that dopamine hit when they get into the real world. And that's why, I think that's why they say millennials want people to tell them good job. They need to be validated for everything they're doing. You know, and I kind of look at it like you see kind of, you know, some people I know that are in that generation and they do something handle insurance correctly.
Yeah.
And they want to talk about how they did it. Or they buy someone a nice gift and they want to talk about what they did. And it's kind of like, dude. I don't care what you bought them.
No.
And I don't care the fact that you handled your insurance correctly or you did what you were supposed to do when you got a ticket or you did what you were supposed to do when you had a wreck or you did what you were supposed to do when the oil needed to be changed.
Oh, yeah. This brand of a great subject is on youth. Continue because I got something for you.
Like,
I got something
like
for you.
Welcome to adulthood. You know what I mean? And that's the thing is like you look at it and like when – you know, when my wife and I were younger and we got into some money issues, we'd ask for money. But it was a loan.
Yeah.
And it was a last resort.
Yeah.
Like the last resort.
Because you did not want to do it because you feel ate, like you wasn't an adult.
We ate peanut butter and jelly and tuna and ramen for a long time.
Ramen noodles.
You know what I mean? Because we couldn't afford anything. I mean, there were times we'd go with $10, $20 and buy whatever we could. And we were buying packages of ramen and all that. But the point being is, and if we did ask for it, we paid it back as quick as we could. And now it just seems like I've seen this younger people, I have seen them go into these situations with the expectation that
it's a gift.
Someone is going to bail them out.
Thank you. And
you know what I mean?
Yeah, oh, I'm totally with you. I'm totally with you. But thinking about that, I got in this conversation the last time I went to Palmdale, you know, hanging out there in California, LA and stuff.
California.
Yeah. But it brought back to you because I told them what they were saying about me. It was the same thing that JW says about me, that I am a cheap MF. And I was like, why are you guys calling me cheap when I don't tip a lot? You remember we got in a conversation with a tip. Let me finish. Let me finish where you go. But you know, it's like, you know, like sky caps and waiters and like, you know, other things. I understand, you know, I would tip them, but it's like the, the bus driver who's
bus
taking
driver.
Me. Hold it. Taking me to my car, and you're getting paid for that, and you don't tell my luggage. Why do I have to pay people extra money for doing their job?
No, I agree.
Like, but you was hammering me. You was hammering me all the time. Cheat.
I hammered you a lot, man.
You don't get no dollar.
Okay, I gave the man a dollar.
No.
All right. I don't do it. I haven't done it in a while for this reason.
Okay.
One, I kind of want to look at the guy and be like, dude, look at me. Look at you. Who's better suited to remove this heavy suitcase off the rack? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'll do it. I prefer to do it myself.
Yeah.
I will feel bad if you hurt. If you blow out your back moving my 40-pound suitcase, I will feel bad.
If you drop my suitcase or my bag with my camera or my equipment in it, I will feel extra bad.
Exactly. So that's my point. My point is like, now, waiter, they make $2.15 an hour, and they rely on tips.
And I understand that when my daughters became waitresses and stuff like that, you know.
So
college,
tip your waiters and
waitresses. And I tip them good.
But if you are driving a bus, now I tip the lady who cuts my hair.
Oh, I do. My barber. Because you know why? They cut my hair.
But she does a great job.
Yeah,
and she's cool, and she works me in. There are times where I call her last minute. She's
absolutely.
She's like, hey, if you can get here at this time, I can do it while, because she's coloring someone's hair. So while that lady's underneath the dryer for 15 minutes, she'll cut my hair real quick. Doesn't have to, but she does. So I tip her in that. So there are definitely areas to tip people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, just like, I love my wife. I love Dana Def. She's such a sweetheart, and they got a special place in heaven for her, because even if I feel like we got bad service in a restaurant, she'll still tip. And me, man, ooh, Josh, I'm like, I'm not giving you nothing.
If you're working for tips.
Okay, but.
Then if you do a bad job, you shouldn't get a tip.
You should?
You should.
Should.
Should not.
Okay, thank you.
That's all I'm saying.
Because you did the little job at restaurants and stuff. You told me about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure sometime you did an outstanding job and they gave you a dollar. You know, and then. Then other times you might have messed up and didn't bring a person tea or mixed their food up one time, and they go tell the manager and get the free food. I see people do it all the time.
I'll tell you this. I have never done a bad job and gotten a great tip. Ever. Mm-hmm. Now, there are times I did a great job and gotten a terrible tip, but I have never just done a terrible job. Here's the thing, and this is kind of just some FYI for you people and the waiters.
Okay.
If you are difficult at the beginning, the service that I get when I have my three kids with me versus the service I get when it's just my wife and I, night and day. Now, that's when I say
Why you say that?
Well, because parents with three kids stereotypically are cheap, right? And seeing, you know, people there by themselves typically aren't. Like, in other words, if you're eating with your family, typically you're not going to tip as much. Whereas in,
but if
you're
they
on
see
a date,
you and Carly together, they could think you're on a date and you're going to do an impressive thing and try to tip
well. That's how they look at it. What they don't understand, here's what you've got to understand if you're a waitress or waiter, as a parent, and I was told this by a parent when I was waiting tables. I was like, oh, I got another family of six over my table, blah, blah. And this girl, she was super cool. She had two kids herself. She said, let me tell you something. She said, people who pay attention to my kids when we go to restaurants get tipped more because that's what
I can see.
That's what I want.
I can see
that. You know what I mean? If you show me, because we know that we're a stigma to a waiter or a waitress. We know that you're like, oh, because there is a lot of work to keep up with kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And a lot of times, if you have kids, you're on a fixed budget, and so, you know, you're just not going to go flowing money around. But she said, and that's what I did. I would sit there and talk to the kids, you know, and if they were old enough, tell them, you know, it's not hard. Dude, if the kid's normally wearing a Batman shirt or something, and you just tell them you like your shirt or like their hat, you know, and all that.
Yeah.
The parents are going to be easy and all that, and so That's just the way it is. But as a waiter, I can tell you this. If I go the first 5 to 10 minutes waiting on your table, if I get the impression that you're like that, that you're a cheap tipper, or you're that person who's going to complain about their food all day.
Okay, I was going to ask you that. How do you get that impression? But I can see it. I don't see any people complaining about their food constantly.
You can tell. You can just tell. If you've waited tables long enough, you can just kind of tell the demeanor. Because a lot of it's the way they treat you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If they are super cool with you and all that, typically they're good tippers. The people, here's the weird thing. The people who think they're better than you because you're just waiting a table and you're waiting on them are typically terrible tippers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And a lot of times those are part-time people who are doing something. I know one guy was studying to get his Series 6 and all that, you know? And so he waited tables while his wife worked to contribute so he could spend the entire day studying for the Series 6. Now he's probably making a ton of money trading stocks and managing mutual funds and all that. You know, doesn't make you better than them. But a lot of times that's what people are doing. They're either trying to get through school. I knew one guy who wanted to open a bar or something. So he was waiting tables on the side to generate enough capital to pay first and last month's lease on this bar. You know what I mean? So you never know anyone's story. Sometimes it's a bum who just...
I just think you should treat all people with respect
until
it happens. Because, you know, like you said, there's been some bad service. Because I know if I'm sitting there and I had to wait. I remember one time I waited on my bill. I think we were somewhere and I waited on my bill. I was like, why are you going there? He's like, come on, man.
Yeah. But that's the thing. I can tell you this. First 5 or 10 minutes in, though, on a busy night, I would write you off.
What?
You getting service. Because I already know that, like, if I can tell you're going to be a bad tipper and you're going to be a difficult customer. Not that I'm going to quit waiting on you, but these three other tables I'm in charge of are going to get my undivided attention. And then you will get my attention when I come out. So, you know, if this person needs something, I'll take care of these three, and then you will be an afterthought. Because I'm not going to waste my time trying to please you when I can try and maybe get these people, you know, these three tables to tip better if you're just going to be difficult.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, I feel sorry for... You know, waiter and waitress, because I've seen those people who all they want to do is get a free meal. I have seen this one couple just argue with this poor waitress, and she did everything right. I'm watching her going like, this is an awesome waitress. But they kept complaining until they heard that manager say, meal's on us. And then that was it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's crazy.
And that's the thing you got to understand, too, is like the food. Waiter has nothing to do with the food.
No.
If they put the wrong thing in and you get the wrong dish because they messed up, that's understandable. But if it's not cooked right, waiter don't cook your food.
I know.
But he's the one who gets the brunt of all of it.
Oh, the brunt
of it. You know. Now, granted, this restaurant I worked at, the proprietor he's about to get fired. In fact, if there was one more complaint, and then the regional manager was ultimately going to fire him. And so he was under a lot of stress, and he was, you know, and he got to the point where for about 2 weeks, man, that's what he was doing, is he was just giving away food to keep people from complaining.
Oh, my God.
About it, you know.
But you're losing money there.
Well, that's what happened. Then he started getting chewed out because his profit margin was decreasing and all that. And so anyway, he's just like, man, forget this. Man, at this place you bought in for X amount of dollars, $25,000 or $50,000, which you usually got a loan for.
Mm-hmm.
If you quit, they gave you your investment back. Right? If you get fired, you're kind of sitting there with a $50,000 loan that you have to pay off.
Yeah.
So what he ultimately realized was going to happen is he was going to quit. And he was just going to quit, get out from underneath that debt. Because get out from underneath that debt and then just go into something else. I think his buddy wanted to come move and manage a bar or something like that. So, anyway, so you had two couples doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And you could tell that's all they wanted to do was get a free meal. So they're complaining about it. And it was cool because it was my table. And so I had, you know, and I felt bad because I had to go to him and say, hey, they want to talk to the manager. And he's just like, you know, and then the funny thing is like, I think he was waiting for it. I think he was waiting for someone
to
complain because I think he knew that's what he needed to quit.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I'll take care of it, man. So he walks out and he listens to these ladies. And he goes, bring a big tray. So I take a big tray out there. And they complain about their stuff. And it was the most foolish stuff I've ever heard. And he says, I'll tell you what. I'll pay for your guys' dessert. Right? Well, one of the guys goes, that's not good enough. He goes, oh, okay. He goes, I'll tell you what, you don't need to pay for your meal. Thank you. And the guy's like, all right, thank you. This guy complained about how the food ate and how he had to stay. He picks their plates up. He goes, don't worry about it, guys. Y'all don't need to pay for this meal. They had just started eating. He picked their plates up, threw it on the big tray, says, take that to the dishwasher. He goes, y'all don't get out of my restaurant.
Boom.
Kicked them out. Here's the thing, man.
That's
you
it.
You know that man, for however long he's been in the restaurant business, has always wanted to do that.
And he did it, bro.
And he got to do it. He's like, you know what? And then he did. He sure enough, he did that. He told him to get out of the restaurant. Said, if you're not out of here, I'm calling the cops. They get up all, you know, and all that. And they leave. He walks back in the back, calls the regional manager. I quit.
Booyah.
Gets off the clock, walks across the, I mean, then he walked across the street to the bar next door and all that. But
see,
that's what he wanted, man.
See, but that, and you know what? After that move, I was like, he got my back. That's, oh, man.
Not anymore. Dude left.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So.
But see, but that brings another point. So what's better when you do the waiter thing? Because I only worked at like Sonic. So it was one of those things. Is it better to get, we have a group all your tips or you keep your own tips? You know how they put it, like tip. Big everybody, they combine everybody's tips and they share them.
Oh, I think it's individual. Well, I never got a group tip.
That's what my daughter said. Now they just combine all the tips at the end of the night and everybody split. And I was like, really?
Dude, that's weak.
And I said, really?
Now I had to tip 3% out for the busboy and okay. The bartender and
okay.
The to go lady. So they. They got the pool. The bartender was where was that? Because you got your own tip bar. So people who sat at the bar tipped you themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You had a so you bring them their tab. They tip you on the tab.
Yeah.
They had buckets or vases or whatever where you could put cash in and tip them.
Yeah.
And so you got to do that all night. But then you got 1% of everybody's tip.
Dang.
So you got all your tips. You got the cash tips where people were literally just
pretty much just throwing all the excess change in there. Mm-hmm. You know, you give them a twin, they give you five back, you just throw it in there. Mm-hmm. Won't keep nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And all that.
Well, it's kind of like that gratuity. You know, I once told a waitress, I was like, I would have gave you more than, you know, when you get seven people more, like we go out and do stuff.
Yeah.
I gave you more. Instead of, you know, the restaurant forces gratuity on you, which is mm-hmm. like 15, maybe 18% of the max.
But you know why they do that?
Why?
Because two times I had tables with 12, 15 people, right?
Mm-hmm.
One guy ran up like a $300 bill between those 12 people, and he paid for it. So you have one guy that's like, you know, hey, bring me the check for everybody's birthday or something like that. And I had the right at 12, 15 people to add gratuity to it. It was on the menu. It was just, that was a rule. But I'm like you. Like, okay. So it's a $300 meal. 20% of $300 is $60.
Yeah.
So I expected a $60 tip. Dude, because they took up all my tables. So they were the only table I had.
Yeah.
So they got primo service. $300 tip, expected $60, 20%. If I would have put gratuity on it, it would have been 18%, which would have been whatever that is, 40-something, 50-something dollars.
Yeah.
I didn't know because I thought the guy was cool. So you I'm like, I waived the gratuity so that wouldn't deter him from putting what he thought he should put as a tip on there. The man gave me $20.
No, Josh.
$20.
No. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, man.
You know what I mean? So you're just kind of like... All right. Another time came in. Same thing. It was a 15-20 top. They spent copious amounts of money. It was a $600 tab when all said and done. And he put, I put gratuity on his $600 tab for that reason. And it was 18%. So whatever 600 times 18 is, it's about $100, $110, something like that.
Yeah.
But I put the gratuity on it for that reason, because I wanted to let that dude walk out.
Yeah.
Now, when I wouldn't, because I always ask, you know, hey, is this separate, or is this going to be on the same check or separate checks? Which you should always ask.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that when you and I go out on travel and they bring us the ticket. Like, dude, we ain't like that, man.
I know.
But if there was a 15, let's say 15 top, 16 people, right? And they're all couples and they're all like, oh, we're separate checks. So it's 8 separate checks. I would put gratuity on it. But typically what happens when you put gratuity on it, it's such a small amount. Like a guy with a $600 check is going to notice $120 gratuity on his bill,
yeah,
right? Whereas in a couple eating $30 and they have a gratuity, they're not going to notice the two or three dollars extra on it.
And they still just tip you anyway.
So I'll get 18 on $200 worth of food, plus they put the tip
on there. Yeah. And I usually do that if I look and see, like, really? Like $1.18? No. I raise it.
Yeah, and you can always tip more. If they put gratuity, you can always tip more. It should say what's on it. But like I said, man, waiting tables was the one thing I did like about it. Is you could always, there's always, if I needed gas, like let's just say, it, you know, I'm 2-3 days away from payday at my other job and I need a tank of gas.
Yeah.
I could literally drive up there and say, who wants to go home today? And there will be somebody who will leave and I can pick up their shift.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm telling you, sometimes people are going like, dude, I do not want to deal with people tonight. And if you're like, hey, I'll take your shift for you, they'll go home and you can take the shift. I was always made money too, because I didn't have anything to do. So I would get in and they had the person who had closing duties. I made it a point to let them know that I'm willing to help you out, you know, if you want to. And so they come up, and depending on the night and how desperate they are, one person wanted to get to a concert. They had closing duties, came in. It was a last-minute concert. And she's like, I'll give you $20 to close for me. I'm like, all right. Because it's just cleaning up is all it is.
Yeah.
You're there later is all it is. So we switched, you know. She got to go home first, and I was there essentially all night. But, you know, you made $20 plus all the tips plus everything like that. And it's, you know. So that's what I liked about it, is you could always, if you were in a bind for cash, you could always just walk in, cover a couple shifts, and you get gas money or whatever.
Cool.
Eat. If you're hungry, you could always walk in and eat. Make good, you know, always make good with the cooks. But it was cool.
Whoa.
Anyway, where are we at?
Oh.
Let's wrap it up, man.
All right, man, this has been a good one. I'm going to fix that problem on the sign thing. I guess it timed itself out. I need to take up that time thing. So you got to let me know, one, if you saw it, and two, I just make it longer across the top. But we're getting there, man. Yeah. We're getting high and higher tech.
I like it. We're definitely a lot further than the first one, which none of you will ever see because the camera quit working halfway through.
That probably was one of the best ones ever, man.
That was one of the two or three times that we've had all three of us here.
Yeah.
And
that was a good one. That was a good one.
Yeah. So we'll see if we can get Jeff in here next week.
Cool.
See if we can get a guest.
Yeah. I know. Now, I did talk to Mater Powerlift, and he said that that he's not going to be doing Arnold. He's doing military nationals. I don't know what that is.
Where's that at?
He says Orlando or something.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, he says that week after the Arnolds.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be interested to talk to him. I'm trying to get my buddy Cy, if he comes into town, jump on here. Follow him. Right. He's a freak. But yeah, we'll find somebody. We'll find someone next week.
Yes, we will.
Maybe just bring Corey the Cop back on.
I know.
Or we can bring in that special guest, Jeff, Big Jeff.
Who's Big Jeff?
Big Jeff is Jeff with a G. Oh. Maybe we can actually get him to come in this time. Anyway, as always, thank you guys. Topofthedudechain.com. Hit us up on the social media. Let us know you're watching. Let us know if you like it or not. That's it. Top of the Dude Chain. We're out.
Peace.